Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, titled, God's Will to Heal. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com or mail your letter along with any check or money order contributions to support this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Donations can also be made at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button. We now begin our study in Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13, titled, God's Will to Heal. This is part 1 of 2.
So we have, if everybody shows up, we have about 30, 35, 40 people, according to how many of everybody shows up and here locally. But then by means of the radio program and the internet, we actually have thousands of people listening every week. Amen. So we're practically an internet church, but it's much easier to teach to people. I started out 5 years old preaching to my teddy bears. They didn't, and that's why I rebelled and went into sin for a few years. And then I got saved for real when I was 19. And now I'm preaching to a bunch of teddy bears. So we're going to be in Luke 5, if you have your Bibles with you. We are Bible believers, so we open our Bible. We do use the King James Version, and we have those in the pew for anybody who needs one. Feel free to take one with you. And we've already set Brittany and Eric up with a hat and a coffee mug. And you can go home and say, we got mugged at church. But Luke 5, verses 12 through 13. We begin most of our studies with a current events update. This week, it's more local than normal, but sex offenders near you. If you don't live in Franklin County, there's something similar in most counties where you can find out to get this information. But if you go to sheriff.franklincountyohio.gov, you'll see this website. And then when you click on the services in the banner and you scan down to the bottom of the choices, you'll see sex offender registry. You click on that and then you'll see this page and at the bottom a link that says registered sex offenders search. And then when you click on that, you'll come to a disclaimer page and it's got a lot to read if you read all that. But down at the bottom, you'll see the thing where you have to click on I agree to the both terms and conditions and click continue. I'm going through this because I've tried to explain to a few people and let's just say they're a little tech limited, I guess the way of putting it. So I'm showing it in black and white and some people can watch this online if they aren't here to see it, hopefully. When you click on, when you check that box and then click continue, you come to the place where you put your address or your place of employment. You can put any address if you're going to go visit somewhere and you want to know. This is
for Franklin County.
For Franklin County.
This is how you register?
No, this is how you find out. So you click on, you put 682 Plymouth Street and hit search and you'll find a map. And now, if you need to register, you just need to go down to the sheriff's office, and they'll take care of that. But you see, this is where we are, right here with a little pushpin-looking thing, 682 Plymouth. And just within a mile radius, the names are up in the right, and when you click on that, it'll show a picture, and you click on that, and it takes you to the full page about that person. But those are the sex offenders within, well, here's a radius. That's within 1 mile of this building. And these are registered sex offenders. And you can see that some of the little dots represent numerous people. And this says found 22 offenders in 11 locations. So there's 22 sex offenders within a mile of this building. And that is why some of you continue to ignore me, but I continue to urge you to carry pepper spray, have your phone on you, and if you can, get a gun and have a concealed carry permit and carry that gun, but only if you learn how to use it.
Amen. Yeah. And we
believe that you have a right to defend yourself and your family.
Amen. And pepper
spray and that sort of thing can stop most attackers. But we have a Second Amendment for a reason in this country.
Amen.
Now, when you scroll down below the map, you actually see the pictures of the men, and there's rarely a woman on that list. And they show their name, the level of their crime, and you click on the name, and it'll take you to a full page where they'll tell you more.
Wow.
Shows their address, and just those of you familiar with this area, you'll see proprietors right at the top, which is right over here. When you pull out and you go to the next light, take a left, and that's proprietors. And East Dublin Granville Road is this road, but they're located across the railroad bridge. Huntley Road is where most of these people live.
Wow.
Huntley is just you go past the railroad bridge to the next light, you'll have, is it Shell and McDonald's on the right is Sinclair, and if you go left, then it's Huntley. And it's back in there where you find most of these people living. It's like a nest back there. Yeah. And there's a couple other, East Lincoln Avenue, North Meadows Court, and Worthington Forest Place are different streets where these people live. Now, God, this has nothing to do with them and the ability of God to save them. We believe they can be saved.
Amen.
I've actually gone in that area a couple of times and talked to a couple of gentlemen who are on this list. And the problem is so many of these are so far gone. So we should pray for them. If you ever run across them, don't be afraid to give them a gospel tract. But be smart. And it isn't about fear-mongering. You go on the map and you look all over Franklin County, you're going to find places all over the county where these people live. And that's why there's no, oh, I thought it was a safe place. Any place, especially in Franklin County, but any place, one of these guys could be there just because they don't live there. But one, they may not be the problem. Maybe somebody doesn't even have a record.
Yeah.
And at that point, for some reason, you become a target. So you should just be smart. It's not about fear-mongering. It's about not being ignorant. Information is good. There are still thousands of young boys who have now grown up as men who have issues because they were molested at Boy Scouts. Molested by their priest.
Yeah.
Molested by their youth pastor.
Yeah.
Molested by even teachers. So the thing to do isn't to be afraid of everybody, but to educate your children and let them know to avoid certain situations and never be afraid to say something if someone makes you uncomfortable, someone touches you in a way they shouldn't. That's the way to... And then also, my kids, since they were 12 or 13 years old, carried pepper spray. And I taught them what to do and what not to do so that they could protect themselves. So, Sean.
Speaking of Boy Scouts, I heard a few days ago that they declared bankruptcy.
Yeah, because there's so many lawsuits by boys who are now men suing them for sexual molestation.
12,000.
So
their history sounds like 7,819 leaders
That's some. It is. Proverbs 22:3, as we'll close this current events update. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. In this context, the word "the simple" means basically stupid or foolish. And they just act like they're in the millennium. No one's going to hurt me. I'm okay. And some people get by with that. And some people don't. And a lot of them say, I'm just trusting the Lord. Well, no, you're not. The Bible tells you that if you don't have a sword, and in this day and age, a sword, you don't take a sword to a gunfight, but if you don't have a gun, if you don't have a weapon, buy one. The words of Jesus Christ. So if you trust God, you obey His word. Amen?
Amen.
There you go. Now, if you can't get a gun right now and you don't feel comfortable with it or whatever, don't get one. What you do is get the pepper spray. Then you go to one of these shooting ranges. Take someone you trust that knows guns and can help you. And the more, it's like, how many of you were nervous the first time you drove a car? Yeah. And that's, or first time you rode your bike as a kid. But man, within a few weeks, you were like, evil Knievel. And some of you have no idea who I'm talking about. Look it up on YouTube. But Evel Knievel was the hero back in the 70s and 80s when I was growing up.
Yep.
And man, I had my little bike, and at first I was wobbling and everything. A few weeks later, I'm ramping off of the front lawn and crashing and busting things up, and that was great. All right, God's will to heal. We actually read and looked at these verses last week, and instead of keeping you here for 2 hours, I decided I would break it out and cover this on a separate study. We're going to look at chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And in our previous study, we saw the leper healed. Now, it's a leper, not a leopard. The leopard doesn't need healed. It's a leopard. But a leper, and we talked about leprosy and all that. Just go back and watch or listen to that study if you hadn't seen it. But let's go ahead and start, and it'd help if I'm there. Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. Give you a second to get there. And let's just read these two verses. Read it with me. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face, and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. God's people say amen.
Amen.
That's God's word. Let's see what it means. How do we apply this? In this situation, I want to address the rank heresy of what's called the word faith movement. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say that? The word faith movement is largely what you see on TV today. Not all. There are some teachers who don't teach it. Tony Evans. The late Adrian Rogers still has his TV program. Charles Stanley. What's Robert Jeffers? Any of you think of any? These are people who don't teach. These are pretty good teachers.
Jack Graham.
Jack Graham. No, you won't hear them teach this. What we're talking about, word faith, is something that you'll see, but not all TV preachers preach it. So you have to learn it, and you have to discern when you hear it and see it being taught. The word faith movement. This guy is Kenneth Copeland. How many of you know have seen him?
Yeah.
He's been around since, I think, right after the fall. And, I mean, my entire life he's been on radio and TV. But he's one of the, I hate to say this, but he's one of the worst teachers on TV. And he teaches this word faith stuff. And I'm going to use his teaching just as a little example so you can see what I'm talking about.
Just take it. If you take the outer seat, sir, I take it now. Well, I don't know if it's God's will for me to have it. Let me tell you something, sweetheart. There was a man full of leprosy came to Jesus, and he said, "Sir, I know you can if you will." Now see, that was his problem. He knew he could, but he didn't know the way he will. Now remember, Jesus is the express will of God for all men for all time. And one translation, he said, "Of course I will." And he said, "That's why I came." And just don't believe anything else. It's always been his will. God will heal anything that's sick, anything that hurts. I'm telling you, God's will is to heal it and make it right. He is the creator. And he looked at everything he created and saw that it was very good. So on what day did he create cancer? He didn't. It came in with sin, and death came into the world, and cancer came in with death and the curse of death, and Jesus has delivered us from it. Glory to God. Take it right now. It's yours. Praise God. Just rejoice and get a hold of it.
One of the greatest compliments I ever received was when somebody said I reminded them of Kenneth Copeland. He's a good speaker. So I didn't take it as an insult. I just hoped that they knew that I didn't preach that. But I think I have a bit of a southern accent. I'm from down south, southern Ohio. But anyway, if you have discernment, then you heard some truth. Because let me tell you something. If you hear a guy and everything he's saying is a lie, he's bad at it. If someone wants to sneak in something that's not true, it's always layered in an onion. And you peel back the truth and keep peeling it back, and then all of a sudden you see it's rotten in the middle. Another example we use all the time is decon. How many of you ever use decon? I don't use that stuff because it seems really gruesome. I'm not condemning you if you do, but I have these things that are a quick kill called jaws. Snap, and it puts them out of the misery. Yeah. But if you give them decon, that'll kill them. But you know 99.999% of decon, I don't know if it's exactly that, but it's like 99.99, I think. It doesn't hurt the little mouse. It's just fibrous stuff. And it has a scent that attracts them. It's that 0.01% that they add that kills them. And that's how Satan works, folks. Satan always puts a lot of true things and then injects lies. And we talked about this numerous times in the last couple of weeks. You have to read your Bible. And I always say this, get a King James Bible. We've got videos here that explain why we only use the King James Version. And it's not because we think Paul said thee and thou and all that. I'm just... the Vatican Codex, which is used for the new versions, is filled with little bits of poison. And if you wonder why so many churches are going into apostasy and so many churches have open gay ministers and why so many churches are just dropping important truths that was once taught and believed by almost all Christians, no matter what name was on the door. Why? Because the poison of bad Bibles, and then these guys who go to seminary these days, most of the seminaries are terrible. I've told the story about when I first was called in the ministry, I went and even visited the seminaries and talked to the presidents of those seminaries. And they were as blind spiritually. And I was still kind of a babe in Christ. I'd only been saved 2 or 3 years at that time. 4 years, 5 years. I kept looking. It was all about the money. It's all business. And so this is what it means to be a Baptist, by the way. We don't have the name Baptist on our door. People wonder why. It's because so many of the Baptist churches are not Baptist anymore. So we want people to understand we are Bible believers who fellowship. Some people see BBF and they think the F stands for food because we have food here all the time. But actually it's fellowship, which involves food. But we are Bible believers, but we let people know, we don't hide it, that historically we would be called Baptists. Why? Because we believe in a thing called the liberty of conscience, that you are a priest before God. You don't need a priest. I'm not Father Greg to anybody except for Mariah and Charlie. I am Pastor Greg, and I'm just basically a guy who teaches the real pastor's word. I'm here to tell you what did the real pastor, the bishop of our souls, Jesus, Amen. Through his spirit, gave us a book. And I'm here to tell you and help you understand that book so that when you go home the other 6 days of the week, you can understand it yourself. And you can read every day. And the Holy Spirit in you, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you. You can now read the Word. And then you're excited about coming back to church next Sunday to, number one, tell others what you learned. Yeah. I'm not chewing you out. I'm here to tell you, though, I don't hear that enough from you. I love you all, but I don't hear that enough. I don't hear people coming in and saying, you know, during my studies this week, while I was reading the Bible this week, I saw this. And I was just so excited about it. God, tell somebody, you know. And not to prove how smart you are, to prove what kind of a book we've got. Amen. What an amazing book. Amen. And that's the whole purpose of us coming here. And to get back to square one, it is important that you attend a church that teaches the Bible so that you can discern when you hear things like you just heard. Mm-hmm. It's to help equip you so that you don't have to come and say, Pastor Greg, can you listen to this and tell me what's wrong with it? That's not really my job. I'm here to teach the Word so that you can tell what's wrong with it. Amen. But some people, thankfully, haven't been exposed to this stuff. When Jenny and I got married going on 15 years ago, she and Charlie and Matt, when I talk about some of the stuff that was going on in churches and everything, they're like, I've never seen that before. And I had to remind him, it's because you've only gone to one church. You go to other churches, you see a little more, and then you turn on the TV, and if you're new to it, it'll freak you out. You're like, that really happens? Yes, it do. So there in verse 13, we want to zero in on what he says there when the leper asks for wants healing, and he says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, in verse 12. Verse 13 says, and he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Now, notice, if you remember what you just heard, how Copeland perverted the text to teach this error. He says, Jesus is for all men at all times. Therefore, when Jesus said, I will, be thou clean, you see the slick way he turned the words of Jesus? He says that since Jesus told the leper, I will, that therefore it's always God's will to heal. Now, I hate to tell you folks, it just takes a tiny little bit of common sense to know that's not true. Amen. Jesus said that only to this leper at this moment. When he said, I will, be thou clean, he was not speaking to all people of all time. He was speaking to that leper. That brings us to what I mentioned just a moment ago. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. Do you remember? You listened to COVID. What did he say? There's another translation that says. You see, another problem we have with 30 or 40 translations out there, they all contradict each other. And the preachers get up there and they'll choose this one to make this point, choose that one to make that point, choose this one over here. And people, why do we have apostasy today? Because most people are so confused and they don't know where to go get a Bible that's God's Word. Yeah. They're taught that this one's good, this one's better than that one. This one here, oh, that's your Bible, that's an unfortunate rendering. A better translation would be. Listen, we'll come to that in a minute. This, folks, these people these preachers who stand up there and tell you, I'm not telling you to do this, but I wish we could. Take that same preacher, go off and have a conversation, and ask him to just give him something, whether it's your Bible or something else, and ask him to translate and read it in Greek right there. Folks, these are actors. Most pastors today I'm not happy to say this, but it's true. They're actors. They're not pastors. They're acting like they know Greek and Hebrew. And they don't. What they've done is sat in their study and pulled books, lexicons, and commentaries off the shelf, plagiarized it, most of the time not even telling you that they got it out of that book. And then they stand up here and act like, yeah, so it's too bad you don't know Greek and Hebrew like I do. And you know what else? They want you to think, yes, peon, if you really want to understand your Bible, you need me. Because I'm so brilliant. And I know Hebrew and Greek. And therefore, you should not even dare try to understand God's word without my help. That's the attitude of most Christians. They don't read their Bibles. And when they go to church, they just sit there like empty heads with their head open like this and just pouring all that in. And they don't even test it. And they don't have discernment. They don't have an ability to test it. And so many of these guys are corrupting the Word of God. It's a fact. We are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Now, this is a review for some of you. For a few of you, this is new. If you want to learn your Bible accurately, there are three main rules for interpretation. Number one, say it with me.
Context.
Number two.
Context.
And rule number three.
Context.
There you go. Everybody wants to get screenshots for social media. The Apostle Paul never had to put up with that. It's context. Spelled C-O-N-T-E-X-T. Just so get the spelling right. When you listen to these guys, you will constantly see, if you check your Bible, that's all they're doing. They take things out of their context. Jesus' words, specifically, directly in that text, were to a leper. And Copeland and others take it out of context and just act like Jesus is talking to all of us. I will, be thou clean. Charlie?
Specifically, he was responding to something the leper said as well. It wasn't just like randomly walked up.
Right. He's answering that leper's question. Yeah. Context. It's a wonderful thing. And Paul, we just mentioned him, the Apostle Paul understood this, and he said this in 2 Timothy 4:20, Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Yep. Listen, they'll claim that since the apostles in the book of Acts went around healing everybody they touched and everything, that that's the way it ought to be now. No, it wasn't even that way then. Paul, when he wrote this, was getting ready to go to in Rome. He was getting ready to be beheaded. He was at the end of his life. And at some point between Acts 28, a few years before, and the time he wrote 2 Timothy 4:20, Paul could no longer just walk up to people and heal them. How many of you heard that, Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's true if you keep it in context. It doesn't say Jesus does the same thing yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is the same. It was the same Jesus who told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that no longer tells you that. How many of you have read where in this dispensation today, you have to worry about eating from a tree? You don't, do you? It was the same Jesus who told Noah, build a great big ark so we could get all the animals and all the hordes of people who are going to repent toward God with faith toward the ark. How many people got on that ark? And the rest all died. Amen, Jenny? Lyrics to one of her songs.